the Sportscast, March 4th, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us in your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And of course, go to the website, thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. Also, our Twitter, thesportscast1 on Twitter and also on Instagram. Last night was the NFL Combine. A couple of records were broken a little bit. Not too breaky, I guess you can say, but we're really pretty fast. Some people say these combines are just to show off your numbers and things like that. But today we're going to talk a little bit about NBA. And join us today is Jordan Vargas, all the way from Naperville, West Chicago, an affluent area neighborhood. Jordan, welcome back to the Sportscast. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been. I'm happy to be back. Thank you.
So, Jordan, you graduated high school about 6-8 months ago. Tell us how has it been so far?
It's been great. Just loving the college experience and looking forward to see what's next.
Exactly. You made an announcement actually on LinkedIn this morning or this week. Tell us what are you up to?
Well, I've been coaching basketball for St. Lawrence and Chicago Hoops for the past year now. And I've decided to make my own business called Courtside Elite Training. And basically it is it's a training company where I'll be training kids and of all ages, the games of basketball and offense, defense, and conditioning, and use my experiences over the years to help them get better. And not only on the court, but off the court as well, with breaking down film and helping them understand what it means to be an elite basketball player.
And what age group are will you be targeting?
13 to 18 for right now. And we'll just see where that goes.
How has your coaching experience been so far?
Oh, it's been great. I've been able to coach. I've been coaching under a guy named Juwan Jackson, and Juwan has NBA clientele. He trains a guy up in Detroit, and his cousin Kyle Davis played a short stint for the Houston Rockets. He trains him as well. So just being around those guys and learning from them is great and the best teachers I can ask for.
Yeah, that's something that I've noticed in your past podcast that you did recently, that you're interviewing a lot of high school coaches and a lot of scouts. How is the talent up in Illinois? I mean, I bet Illinois has some football, but I do bet it's basketball heavy up there.
Oh, it's very basketball heavy. I mean, we have Chicago, which is home of the Chicago Bulls, and ever since I feel the Jordan era, Chicago's just been producing people, and we have the top schools in the nation competing. We had a neighboring town next to me, Glenbard West, competed against Sierra Canyon, which holds LeBron James' son, Bronny James, and they came to Illinois to play him. But Illinois is flooded with talent. There's all sorts of diamonds in the rough in Illinois and even some stars. So it's just a great area for basketball. And I suggest, I mean, between here, Indiana, and California, and Texas, I think is the top places that produces. Even if you look at the NBA charts, we have Anthony Davis that's from Chicago, Derrick Rose is from Chicago, and Asamanu is from Chicago. So we have all sorts of players that are from Chicago that have made a huge impact in the highest level of basketball.
And to keep in mind, a lot of these top NBA players had to go through training, had to go through businesses and academies and to perfect their technique. To improve their shot, their dribble. And I actually heard professional players still have to work on their technique to improve as a player, to take them to a championship and things like that. So that's awesome. Congratulations. And we'll definitely get the contact information towards the end of the show so people can find out if they have a kid or maybe a player in high school or middle school is thinking about going to basketball all the way. They want to be in the NBA or maybe play at least in college basketball and take their heights to a different level. So congratulations. And anyways, let's go to the NBA update. The All-Star game was about 2 weeks ago in Cleveland. Steph Curry actually won the MVP. Kobe Bryant I think it was the first time Kobe Bryant, that trophy was named after Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. He passed away about 2 years ago, and I don't think they had an All-Star game last. Well, they did, but it was kind of like very enclosed. All right, yeah. So last night, 76ers signed veteran DeAndre Jordan, a big guy, to the 76ers, joining Embiid and James Harden. Jordan, this Philadelphia team is they're kind of building up something, and I'm liking it. Harden is starting to play a little bit better as an old school OKC. Do you see a force in this team and potentially go to the finals?
Oh, of course. I think now they're a real contender to win, to go big this year, especially since it's the midseason trade and coming right off All-Star break. This is going right into the playoffs. So this is going to hold Philadelphia in a great position to really go through the entire way.
DeAndre Jordan, last time we saw him, he was with the Lakers, I believe. He's 6'11", appeared in 32 games. Do you think this player still has it left in him to provide support to this 76ers team?
Oh, of course. He still has strength and dominance, and he has his veteran experience. He's played basketball for, I believe, over he played under Doc Rivers when he was coaching at the Clippers. So he's been playing for a long time. And just his experience, especially playoff experience when they went in the Western Conference against the Spurs in 2012, I believe. But that experience, DeAndre can really help them push to go deep in the playoffs and show what it means to win it all.
Let's shift towards the East. Your Chicago Bulls, no Lonzo Ball. Sixers has surpassed the Bulls. They were in first place for a little bit. The Heat are number one. I'm not too mad about that. How do you see the East now that things are kind of getting competitive? The Bulls lost Ball, has no Ball, but they do have DeRozan. What are your thoughts over like this Bulls team?
This Bulls team is great, and I think DeRozan's really stepped up to be a star player. And he was always a star player with the Bulls, but especially now, it's emphasized even more. I mean, he had three game winners this entire season, two against Indiana, and just recently he had a very nice shot. I don't remember who was it against, but he's been showing off, and he's the king of the mid-range, and he's an actual contender for MVP. And out of all the years DeRozan's played, whether it was with the Raptors or the Spurs and now Chicago, this is the time where he's shining the most. And I think we're seeing glimpses of him staying in Chicago, where he likes to be there, especially under the coaching staff and the players that he has right now. It just helps him a lot. It lowers the weight off of him, so he could just be DeRozan and doesn't have to compensate for all the other players.
Looking at other players, Zach LaVine and Alex Caruso, how much did they have to step up in the court, as well as Ayo Dosunmu? How much did they have to step in and potentially make a deep run in the playoffs?
I mean, they stepped in great. Alex Caruso, though, I do feel bad. Grayson Allen did a very dirty play against him, kind of brought him down. And Alex Caruso, unfortunately, landed on his right wrist and fractured it. But Alex Caruso, he's a great player. He's one of the better defenders in the league. I think Lonzo Ball held the title for that. You know, and he still does with Chicago, but Alex is just a different breed on defense. And Ayo Dosunmu, he's been holding up great. He's hometown hero from Chicago, played high school basketball at Morgan Park and played at University of Illinois under Brad Underwood. And now he's came, played for Chicago. He's been doing great. I mean, he was in the Rising Stars Challenge for All-Star break. And Chicago team's looking really, really strong right now. I think much stronger in past years. And I would even say that right now their talent levels, even when they had Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah, that's the types of Bulls that we're seeing. And Bulls stadiums, the United Center is now packed. Before, up until, you know, after Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler left, the stadium was kind of fluttered. You know, there's people here and there, but now every game is packed, knowing the stars that are playing for Chicago and how good we're doing.
That's a good sign for the United Stadium and, of course, for the Bulls. Let me read out the Heat. The Eastern standings. Number one's Heat, 2 Sixers, 3 Bulls, 4 Bucks, Celtics 5, Cavaliers at 6. Then the 7th, Raptors, Nets, Hornets, and 10, Hawks, of course, because of the play-in. That's where I read the top 10. How do you see these East standings, Jordan? And tell me who your top three that can make it out of it and go to the championship.
First one, I'm going to have to say Miami Heat. I'm going to self-explanatory. They've been held number one for a long time. This first one is going to say Miami. Second one, I'm going to have to say Chicago. And the third, I'm going to have to say Philadelphia. They're going to make a very strong run for it. I would say Brooklyn, but I think, in my opinion, they made the wrong trades. So I'm going to have to count Brooklyn out. Although Kevin Durant is off the injury report list, which is a good sign, meaning he's back to return to play. But I'm going to have to say Miami, Philadelphia, and Chicago.
The Bucks team at fourth, they won the championship last year. They are a force to be reckoned with. If you were Miami or even Chicago, would you be worried about them?
You know, I would be worried about them just because they do not only have playoff experience, but they have finals experience. They have a championship level experience. They know what it means to win an NBA Finals series. So I think it's going to be scary kind of going into the postseason. And I think even last year, we kind of were skeptical of Milwaukee and how far they were going to take it. And they ended up taking it all the way. So Milwaukee is definitely a threat, but with Chicago's depth and Philadelphia's depth and Miami's depth in the roster, those are three teams that I believe are going to be set, even if Milwaukee, with their championship experience, that it's going to be harder for them to push through those rosters from the starting lineup to the end of the bench.
Number 10, Trae Young, Hawks at 10th. Can we see this team turn things around, or do you think they're not going to do much this season?
Unfortunately, I don't think they're going to do much this season. They've had a great season, not discounting what Trae Young's done this season, but I believe this season just isn't in form. The teams that are ahead of them are milestones in their roster build and their coaching and their front office. They're going to have to really, really make a big climb in order to even stand a chance of entering the pool to enter the playoffs. And I just think it's too far for them. It's too far gone for them to make that stride.
Let's look into the Western standings, of course. Number one, the Phoenix Suns. Then the Warriors at number two, Grizzlies at three, four Jazz, five Mavericks, six Nuggets, seven Timberwolves, eight Clippers, number nine Lakers, and 10 Pelicans. Jordan, who are your top three favorites to go to go all the way?
Unfortunately, this is, I think, the first time everyone's going to say not the Lakers. I could start off with that, not the Lakers, which is very, very depressing, but... No, I think the Phoenix Suns have really proved themselves coming back. You know, they struggled very, very early in the season. If you remember, they were sitting at 8th and 9th and kind of competing with LA for a while. But now they've made a surge, and they did what the Atlanta Hawks need to do, which is make a huge surge. And they did it at the right time, entering right before the playoffs. They have momentum. I'm going to have to just go forget the top three. I'm just going to go Phoenix Suns all the way.
Phoenix Suns all the way. The Warriors, I like Steph Curry. As you know, he's been popping. He's just won the All-Star MVP, which doesn't mean much to you. Yeah. But this Warriors team has experience. Curry is unstoppable. Is this a Warriors team that we've seen before? Or, hey, they'll be stopped by the Suns eventually?
I think that's an interesting question, because the Warriors team that they had before, the competition they were playing against was much different than the competition they're playing against now. If you think about it, they had to play against the Cavs with LeBron, Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, Amon, and JR. And now, you know, and even in their Western Conference standings, they had to compete against the Clippers, and they had to compete against the Rockets for standings. So the competition, I think, is a lot more different, and the older they're getting. So I really can't tell you the measurements of how the Warriors are going to do. But I will say that we are seeing glimpses of old school Golden State, you know, coming back in the 2017-2016 NBA Finals. But I mean, it's just going to be interesting to see how they really measure up, because they haven't had a playoff experience in a while with everybody healthy at one time. So it's just going to be very interesting.
Andrew Wiggins, has he been a huge help for the Warriors? And maybe, might be enough to, hey, maybe carry them.
Andrew Wiggins has been a huge help. In fact, he had the second highest votes in the NBA All-Star. And if you look at Andrew Wiggins' career, he was a first-round pick, came out of Kansas, I believe. And people kind of labeled him a bust up until this past season. You know, he didn't have too much of an impressive time over in Minnesota, but coming to Golden State, he's had his time to shine. And I believe it was not only with the right teammates, but I think the right environment, the right coaching staff, the right front office, they really do believe in him. And when you have veterans like Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green to bounce off of to show you tips, I mean, you're learning from one of the best in the world. So I don't see a reason why you can't float the boat for a while.
One player that is floating the boat for a team called the Grizzlies in Memphis, Ja Morant had 52 points the other night. Mm-hmm. He's having an MVP-like season. You know, he's young. He's only, I think, in his early 20s, 22 years old. Jordan, what do you think about this player? Is he a force to be reckoned with, at least for this year? Or, hey, he's not going to win it this year, but maybe next year.
Well, I don't know if the Memphis Grizzlies are going to really win it this year, but I think he's a force to be reckoned with. And I mean, he's just a phenomenal player, and his story, I think, is even better. He's always kind of sat the underdog topic. I mean, he had caught a whim of a Division I offer to Murray State and performed insane there, became the second round pick in the NBA draft of 2019, I believe. And he's just been putting up insane numbers. His field goal percentage is up, his points per game is up, his three-pointer percentage is up, his mid-range is up, and he's shown some insane highlights this year. And the game he won, he had 52. He had a game winner that game. An insane full court from Steven Adams just caught the ball in midair and shot it. So he's definitely putting up an MVP season. Now, whether he's going to win it or not, in my opinion, I don't think he should. But he's been putting up great numbers, and it's very impressive.
How that duo has been working out? Do you think that Steve Adams and Ja Morant is a perfect, you know, Adams is more of a veteran, but a good sidekick. You think that's going to be a well-oiled machine there?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, you have one of the most powerful big men in the game of basketball. Even after Steven Adams retires, his name is still going to be talked about. I wrote this run at OKC. If you saw that, if you saw Steven Adams in OKC, he had Westbrook and he had Kevin Durant. And Steven Adams held it down in OKC in the paint, even with Westbrook and Kevin Durant. So I think it's similar with Ja Morant and Steven Adams. It's kind of like a Westbrook and Steven Adams combo, but it's Ja Morant and Steven Adams.
Which we'll get to at Westbrook a little bit later. Ja Morant versus Derrick Rose. What are the comparables with those two individuals?
I don't like this because people like to compare Ja Morant and Derrick Rose, and I'm not taking anything away from Ja Morant, but I think it's unfair to compare Ja Morant and Derrick Rose. If you look at the time frame between when Derrick Rose was in his prime and Ja Morant, where he is right now, it's two separate levels of competition. Derrick Rose had a split. The defense, Derrick Rose is getting picked up full court by prime Washington Wizards John Wall, early stages of Kyrie, Mario Chalmers, Ray Allen, Udonis Haslam, LeBron, Chris Bosh. He had a split Paul Pierce. He had a split Kevin Garnett. The competition that Derrick Rose is playing against was far greater than the competition he's playing against right now, not discounting the NBA today. But I think even the people in the NBA today would give kudos to who Derrick Rose was getting guarded by, and for Derrick Rose to perform that way. And if you just look at the athleticism-wise, Ja Morant has Derrick Rose-like athleticism, but Ja Morant is 6'4", Derrick Rose is 6'3", and Derrick Rose obviously has much more muscle and is much stronger than Ja Morant. But if you just look at highlights of Ja Morant dunking versus Derrick Rose doing a layup, it's two separate. Ja Morant's not doing the layups that Derrick Rose is doing. Ja Morant's not poking the ball away from Carmelo Anthony and doing a reverse dunk in the Garden. So if you just look at the two highlights, you know, but numbers-wise, Ja Morant has Derrick Rose. That's the truth. Numbers-wise, Ja Morant has Derrick Rose on that.
Who had a better team, Derrick Rose or Ja Morant?
Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose had a better team under Tom.
They had a guy named Butler.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler, Derrick Rose, Joe
Nate Kimo, Robinson.
Nate Robinson, Carlos Boozer. Their team was stacked.
It was stacked, which was put together by Jerry Krause, the villain back in the 90s with Michael Jordan. Well, they call him the villain, but depends who you ask. Anyways, I will say John Morant definitely will make a splash in the playoffs. He'll probably have a game or two or a series or two.
Oh yeah,
he'll make some headlines on SportsCenter, and we'll see what happens with this Grizz team, because I haven't seen this Grizz team that good since the old days of Michael Conley and the Spaniard, not Paul Gasol,
Ricky Rubio.
No. It was Gasol brother, Marc Gasol, when he was with the Grizz. Memphis, the home of Elvis Presley. All right, Lakers at 9. We got to talk about the Lakers because they're a legendary team. LeBron, not so happy. Had a huge bumpy season. Of course, Westbrook added him, didn't really help. How do you see this Laker team this season? Do you think, yeah, they might make the play-in, but can they get out of it and maybe make some be a spoiler, or this team is done in your book?
You know, this is interesting because I said it before, definitely not the Lakers winning it all this year. But it's going to be interesting to see when the time really counts, because up until the playoffs and before All-Star break, there's still a 3 to 4 week period of playoff contingencies. And the teams play every other day. So they play about 4 times a week. 4 times 3, that's 12 games. If the Lakers go on a 12 and 3 run, that's going to put them at least 3 spots up, and then they're in the perfect running. So it's going to be really interesting to see when a time really matters how the Lakers are going to pull it together. Now, from what we see in preseason and what we've seen in the regular season, it's not been very pretty. But it's going to be interesting to see how they take it going into the playoffs. And I think it's going to bother LeBron not being in the playoffs, because I believe this is going to be his second year not making the playoffs, and it's going to be a real big bother to him.
You think who would have been better, Westbrook or Rajon Rondo as point guard for the Lakers?
I think physical wise, we're going to say Westbrook.
Yeah, Westbrook, in theory, you think he would be better, to be honest. Correct. But he's not showing it.
But I'm going to have to say Rondo. Rondo has far more experience than Russell, and
more championship experience.
To me, he's more of an overall better team player, and he knows how to control the floor really well. And I would rather see Rondo take the ball up than Russell any day.
Well, there you have it. That is Jordan's Laker update. Jordan, tell us what's going on with LaMelo Ball in Charlotte. You know, they're in playoff contention at number, I think, 9, play-in contention. What's going on with Ball and the Hornets?
Well, there's definitely some conflict between James Borrego and LaMelo Ball and the entire team. The Hornets had a good win the other day. And it shows, what's interesting is when they win, we see the entire team put together. We see a playoff team, but when they lose, it's a completely different story. But the Hornets team has a very, very nice roster.
Gordon Hayward. Mason Plumlee.
Miles Bridges, PJ Washington. Terry Rozier went from Boston. Yeah, I know it's a goofy name to pronounce.
But, it's French, isn't it? I'm bad at French, so please excuse me.
But, it's a very in-depth team. But, I don't know. It's just interesting to see when they win and how they play versus how they lose and how they play. So, if they can, again, go on another run, they can be in playoff contention. But they'll really have to pick it up, and James Borrego is really going to have to make some adjustments, whether, you know, it's starting lineup-wise or just play-wise.
Yeah, because maybe one day the Hornets will give Michael Jordan his 7th championship, maybe.
Yeah, maybe Michael can get his 7th ring that he's always wanted.
As owner. I forgot to ask, LeBron says he'll retire until he plays with his son, Bronny. What have you seen about this Bronny player? Is he good as his dad? Is he capable of making to the NBA? What are your thoughts?
So Bronny James, he stands at right now, I believe, 6'3". He's a junior in high school at Cedar Canyon. And He's been, I think he averages right now 12 points a game. He sat out his sophomore season due to an injury, and he kind of rode the bench his freshman season, but he had a stacked Sierra Canyon. And Sierra Canyon, for those who don't know, is one of the top schools in basketball in the entire nation, and they've held that title for a very long time. They have Amari Bailey, who's going to be a projected 2023 first-round pick in the NBA draft, and who's now heading to UCLA. Years past, they had Marvin Bagley, Kiasa Stanley, who plays the Detroit Pistons. So they've had a loaded team, and they really know how to produce. And Bronny James is just a glimpse of that production. But it's going to be interesting to see where he lands, not only in college, but what he does in the NBA. But you've got to look at who his father is. His father is LeBron James. Not even the most influential basketball player, but probably the most influential athlete in the entire world. Everybody knows who LeBron is, whether you like basketball or not. So we'll see where his status with his dad will take him in the NBA. I think eventually LeBron is going to play in the NBA.
While LeBron's there.
Now, I don't think LeBron is going to be actively playing. If this were to happen, LeBron would sign a 10-day contract, or LeBron's son will sign a 10-day contract. They would play him a game, and that's how it would be done. But
what would be like the quickest way? Jumping straight to the G League, or going to college, or it's like the same process?
I think. So LeBron didn't go to college. He went straight from St. Mary, St. Vincent.
Rules were different back then. Yeah, I know.
Right, rules were different. You could go straight from high school to the NBA. Vince Carter did that. Dwight Howard did that. But I believe Bronny's going to go to a college off the pure fact that whatever college he goes to, it's going to be big time. His dad's going to put the money in. The team's going to be sponsored by Nike and LeBron's brand. And then I feel like it's going to be a short-term stem. But it's just interesting. I don't know if Bronny's going to spend all 4 years in college. If he were to do this, I could see him spending 4 years because, in my personal opinion, he would not be able to only spend 2 years, which is 12 months equivalent, to be picked up by an NBA team or enter the NBA draft. I can also see him going and playing overseas or playing in the G League, but he's definitely going to do something after high school, whether it's college or overseas. But now that I'm thinking about it, I would have to say, in my opinion, I'd probably say he's going to go overseas and play.
Interesting.
He's going to go overseas.
Which is another path that players can do to skip or go around college, because it feels like college is that placeholder. Sometimes you can't get over it, but only through overseas, or go to G League, because they pay at least $150,000, right, for minimum wage. So another good option there. All right, before we go, Jordan, who got snubbed in the NBA's 75? You could say Derrick Rose.
That's interesting, because I believe I'd probably say either Derrick Rose. I didn't see Paul Pierce in there, and I don't remember if he is inducted in the 75, but I didn't see Paul Pierce.
I don't think he. Let me double check, because he would have been brought up if he wasn't. And let me get back to you. I've been hearing, Yao Ming, Vince Carter was snubbed, Tracy McGrady, and who's the other one?
Penny Hardaway.
And a lot of these are 90s players.
Yeah.
So
I think it's hard, especially if you play in the Jordan era and you were kind of in the Detroit Pistons in the Bulls era. It's very hard for you to fit in now. If Vince Carter and Penny Hardaway played in today's game, they would, of course, be in the NBA 75 within the first three seasons. But you got to take in factor who, you know, what legends were playing during the 90s. And how they would measure up.
And I stand corrected. Paul Pierce did make it into the 75 list, okay, play for the Celtics, Nets, Wizards, and the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah.
Quite.
Very excited.
And
I'm happy then. I'm happy.
And I was happy to see Dennis Rodman, the Worm, former Chicago Bull, make it to the list, which is pretty much agreeable, isn't it?
Oh, he's one of the best big men in the world of all time.
Well, there you have it. Anything else before we close? Mm-mm. All right. That was NBA update, of course. And NFL Combine, want to do some updates there, but a few players are going to still shining. We'll have a Monday big recap show of what happened this past week. Jordan Vargas, what is the best way to reach you online?
The best way to reach me is my Instagram, Jordan_Vargas, and then my Twitter, JordanVargas02. Or you could look up my LinkedIn, Jordan Vargas, where you can message me and we could talk about, if you have any questions for me, I'll be happy to answer them.
And one more time, how can people find out about your business? And first, what's it about and how can they reach you about it?
My business is a training program for all ages of basketball, dribbling, conditioning, shooting, and defense, and also film work, helping athletes get better on and off the court and teaching them the means to be an elite athlete. And this program will start in officially near the end of March when my AAU season begins that I'm coaching. And the best way to reach me through that is my Instagram. I will be making an Instagram page, Courtside Elite Training, or you can reach me there. And if you have any questions or any tips, I would like to hear from you.
That's the name you can't get away from, Courtside.
Yeah, I with Courtside with Jordan, I thought Courtside Elite Training would just fits. It sounds right.
Well, there you have it. Go contact Jordan for your basketball needs or basketball knowledge. You can reach us at thesportscast.net or on the Sportscast One via Twitter or Instagram. A lot going on this weekend with the NFL Combine. Of course, NBA is coming to a conclusive in April, end of April. And, of course, March Madness begins at the end of the month. So looking forward to that. And a lot of schools, Chesney, the guy from Duke, I can't say his name right, his last dance. So looking forward to see what happens with Duke. But, yeah, Jordan Vargas, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Thank you for having me.
And this was your update.